This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Thursday, February 18th. I am your host, or one of the hosts of this show. I'm Mr. Jolly of Sydney. What else could you be with a name like that? You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. That's just Jolly as in happy, of Sydney, the city. You can find me like that on Twitter, as I mentioned. You can also find my partner, my new partner, who's the other host of this show. His name is Vince Miracle. He is VM Center on Twitter. Based over in Sacramento. Excellent, excellent fella. He will be hosting tomorrow with Stephen Vidovich. And of course, Scotty Harland, who is my other half, he's on a sabbatical at the moment due to work-related matters, but he'll be back at some stage, I reckon maybe early next month or something like that. He is the Harlander 23 on Twitter. Shout outs to the Big Knobs from hoop-ball.com, who sponsor this show. We're standing on the shoulders of giants as ever. Aaron Bruski, Dan Bespris, Adam King from Melbourne, all the editors and writers, DFS experts, betting experts, and more. Get involved and support one of the best things going in the fantasy NBA world. Get over to hoop-ball.com. Check out some of the great content, and you can sign up for some of the paid content there too, which is fantastic stuff, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Without much further ado, we should get into today's show. It is, of course, Thursday night, which means I am joined by Brent Middleman. I think maybe you might have the record now for the most shows with me. Hank on Monday might be pushing up against you a little bit. You fell off a little bit like Chris Boucher for a couple of shows, but you're back better than ever. You are, yeah. Brent the Middleman. Brent, how are you?
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, I mean, I really hope to push that record. I plan to be here weekly. If we need to up it to more times per week just to knock somebody off the pedestal, I'm happy to do that too. I'm super competitive, so ready to rock as always on our massive three-game slate.
That is what I like to hear. I'll be taking you up on that offer on another night when I need someone on short notice for sure. Interesting. Yesterday was an absolute massive slate. Shout out to my buddy John Steele, professor from Seoul. We got through about 11 games in 65 minutes, and it'd be nice if they had mixed it up a little bit. So, like, you know, seven games yesterday and like six or seven today would have been good. Yeah, especially with three kind of blowout games. Although, as ever, there's always fantasy interesting stuff to talk about, and I think we can jump into the first game, which was Toronto beating the Raptors. There we go. It is up past beer o'clock on a Friday afternoon here in Sydney. Toronto beating the Milwaukee Bucks, 110 points to 96. Toronto improved to 14-15 on the season, which is good enough for sixth in the East. Of course, we've talked about this before. Outside of the top couple of teams, it's pretty even, a lot of kind of average teams at the moment. the Bucks fall to 16-13. The Bucks have lost five games in a row for the first time since 2017. They're really missing Drew Holiday. I've got True Holiday written in my notes here because, gee, that is the truth that without him, they're suffering at both ends, but especially on the defense. Giannis fouled out with a flagrant in the last couple of minutes, which sort of summed up his game. He wasn't great. The Bucks' first half was terrible, and their defense in the first half and the third quarter was a laugher. It was laughable. It was really bad. The Raps are 7-3 in the last 10, and they're looking like a threat again. So no Kyle Lowry for the Raptors as well today, but it was the Bucks who missed Drew. What's going on with the Bucks, mate? It's not been good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's Drew injuries. I mean, that's killing him. Giannis not being able to hit a free throw, that kills him. I saw there's a meme going around Instagram or a video going around Instagram of Thanasis Antetokounmpo knocks on wood before every Giannis free throw. And, you know, I don't think it's working. They might need to try something else because this guy cannot make a free throw to save his life. And, you know, you need your best guy to come up clutch.
Yeah, and he absolutely does not come up clutch, does he? We were talking about on yesterday's show about Dame Lillard, who had just an absolute massive game yesterday.
And he's how clutch.
He has not missed a foul shot in clutch minutes, which I think clutch minutes are like the last 5 minutes of a game when it's within 5 points, or is it the last 3 minutes within 5 points, something like that. But he has not missed a foul shot in those circumstances all season long, and that wins you basketball games.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where stars are born. And Dame Lillard has, you know, proven to be one of the most cold-blooded guys in the league for sure. Giannis is just not there yet. He hasn't been able to win that big game. He has that killer instinct. He seems to be a really hard worker. It's just, I think the clutch is like a gene. You either got it or you don't.
No, 100% agree with that. So Giannis, he had 23, 12, and 8 today, but it was 8-for-20 from the field. He really seemed to be forcing it as well, like he was trying hard to end this losing streak. He was 0-for-4 from deep, and I think teams are pretty happy to see him just bombing away because unlike Joel Embiid, who has reduced his three-point shooting this season, but still, Embiid is a much better three-point shooter than Giannis.
Absolutely, and Giannis, you know, he tries to keep teams honest by shooting out there, but those tend to be his worst games. When he takes more than three or four threes, it tends to be one of those bad Giannis games. When you look at his really good lines, he's usually maybe 1-for-2, maybe 1-for-1 from three.
Yeah, and he has slipped off this season. Just looking at his per game value, he is the 22nd. Sorry, last season he was the 22nd ranked player, and this season he is 35th. And that's like fallen off. We talked about this before. He was 5th in 16-17, 7th in 17-18, 6th. In 18-19, then last season he was 22nd, and this season he's 35th. It's got worse again because not only is the free throw percentage bad, last season it was bad, but it's got slightly worse. The turnovers are worse, and the field goal percentage is down as well. Last season he shot 55% from the field, and this season his field goal percentage has slipped off. The free throw percentage is similarly bad as it was last season, but what else is down? It's the rebounds are down by 2 per game from last season. The assists are about similar, and the points kind of similar. So the rebounds are down. The field goal percentage is down a little bit. The free throw percentage is bad, and the turnovers are worse. Where do we see this going with him? Is just going to be like this year after year where he ends up well below what he could do?
Until he gets some sort of consistent free throw motion or action, which usually translates to a better three-point shot. They usually say guys who are good free throw shooters turn into good three-point shooters, and he's not a good free throw shooter, so that doesn't bode well for his three-pointer developing. I'm worried about Giannis. I mean, he may be what he is, but he is a hard worker. He does seem to have that killer instinct. We can tell by the flagrant at the end of the game. He plays hard. He's going to work on it. So, you know, he's super athletic. I think he does develop a better free throw shot, which will boost his confidence. And I think that'll turn into better threes as he gets older. But it could be, you know, another couple years before that really develops. So I'd kind of expect, you know, this same old Giannis for the next couple of years until something happens with the line.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, if you've got him in points leagues, though, you just can't be complaining, because he's like the number one ranked player in points leagues. He's just absolutely off the charts. But in category leagues, I don't know. I just wouldn't take the risk on him, I don't think, when you've got all kinds of other valuable guys that you can get around the same time or sometimes even later. We'll talk about Fred Van Vliet in a moment, for example, who's returning, like, he's 15th on the season, and he wins you the three throw category with his shooting 90%. So Sox Middleton, as we call him on account of his funky socks, Chris Middleton, he had 13, 8 and 5 on 5 for 13 shooting. Not a great game for him today, but he's been okay this season in that sort of like 50, around about top 50 range. But I want to ask you about Dante DiVincenzo. He had 14, 7 and 4 today on 6 of 15 shooting. He has been a bit better lately after a pretty disappointing season, but the field goal percentage, I've talked about this before, it's way down this season with a higher volume. He doesn't seem to be sticking. Where are you on Dante? I dropped him in a few leagues. I picked him back up in one. He's not proving to be a must-hold player this season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's a guy I hear a lot about on the HoopBall Discord. If you're a member, come join us there. But yeah, I get so many questions about Dante. A lot of, should I do Dante or this guy type of questions. And I tend to always pick the other guy. I'm not a big DiVincenzo fan. He just doesn't really excite me that much. I see the potential in fantasy. He has the potential to put up across the board stats with defense, with threes, which is, you know, why he keeps, you know, getting, you know, hitting the waiver wire and immediately getting picked back up. But he's just somebody I don't want to deal with. There's too much inconsistency there. He's still super young, you know, so there's a good chance that he does get more consistent. I just don't know if it's going to be this season. But I think in the next year or two, we could see quite a leap from DiVincenzo in real life and in fantasy.
Yeah, and he's just the 128th ranked player on the season, which is like right about sort of like the, I mean, streamable spot, isn't it? Like, I remember when I first started playing fantasy, someone once told me pretty much anything outside of like the top 80 is potentially streamable depending on what's available on the wire for you. Where do you think the line is with that? Or is it more like 100, 110?
Yeah, obviously it depends on how deep your league is, but I'd say that that's a pretty good, I haven't heard that before, but that makes a lot of sense to me. And you're right. I think anyone probably within the top 130 has the potential for a good streaming. If there's injuries or a good matchup, if they all of a sudden going to get minutes, you know, I think any of those guys have that potential. And I think DiVincenzo has the game to be a top 75 player for sure. You know, I don't know if this is a great comparison, but he reminds me a little bit of Zach LaVine early in his career, where he didn't really put up the defensive stats that his athleticism showed that he could. But we kept seeing that potential for a breakout. And I used to get a lot of guff, I guess, from other fantasy guys, because I love Zach LaVine and I kept saying he's going to be an all-star one day. And he actually did. You know, he's turned it around. He's improved his game. And I see a little bit of that in DiVincenzo and that potential.
Yeah, now it's interesting, isn't it? Last season, he was 125th on the season. And this season, where do you reckon he is?
If he was 125th last year, I'd say he's probably in the 130 to 40 range.
Was actually 128th, but he is 140th in the last 2 weeks. So you're a bit spot on there. The shooting this season, 41.8% from the field. Last season was 45.5%. So that's a
big drop.
That's where the drop off is. He's picked up a couple of other categories, but a little bit. But that is really sort of holding him back. And we find that happens. I think you're right. He is a young player. And what is it, his sophomore season or his third season only? His third season, yeah. So, he may improve once he gets used to this extra volume. Brook Lopez had 12 and 4 with a steal and a block. It was a bit disappointing today. And this season hasn't been amazing from him. Probably this is sort of the beginning of him dropping off. How many more seasons does he have of fantasy value?
This might be it, honestly. I think he'll have value, but he's going to be an end of the draft, like a Marc Gasol type of grab, I think, the next couple of years, where you still get the threes, you still like the blocks. I mean, look, the blocks are still elite, and that's a tough category. You know, Hassan Whiteside, who we'll talk about later, is getting picked up in a lot of places. DeAndre Jordan, who outside of blocks, you know, they're not really helping you, but it's such a tough category to come across that, you know, those guys will keep having value. So as long as he's still blocking shots and just being very tall, he'll have fantasy value, but nothing like that elite threes along with the blocks. And I mean, look, we've seen this coming. His rebounds have been dropping since he was on the Lakers. And now for a guy who's that tall to only get three rebounds a game or whatever it is they averages, that's just not going to get it done from a fantasy perspective. So as long as the blocks are there, he'll have value another year or two, but it's going to be end of the draft. I need blocks type of guy.
Yeah, and he is only averaging 1.3 blocks per game, which is slightly
low for him,
which is slightly better than Kyrie Irving.
True. I think Harden probably outblocks him.
Yeah, we talked about this as well before, about how Kyrie's getting good block numbers because people just put up so many shots in his face because they think he's not a great defender and he's short. Fred VanVleet is another one like that who gets those sneaky blocks because people just false sense of security and they shoot in his face all the time. But yeah, Brook Lopez is just 90th on the season and he is just hitting 1.63s per game and the blocks are 1.3. That's maintaining his value. 5 rebounds a game, surprisingly, but just 4.3 over the last week. So he's at 90th on the season. Last year he was 49th. The season before that, 30th. He had another top 40 season and a top 25 season when he was in Brooklyn as well. So he's had 4 or 5 good seasons, but it does look to be on the way out. Bobby Portis.
Yeah, with those blocks coming down, he's quickly turning into Channing Frye.
Channing Frye, there's a blast. One of the top blokes in the NBA, but he fell off a cliff. In the end. Channing Frye is sort of like a bit of a trailblazer as like the stretch center. He's pretty much the first one in the NBA that really stands out.
Yeah, definitely. And one that, from a fantasy perspective, hit enough threes to make him viable. Good old Channing. I've had him on a few teams.
Back in the day when not everybody was shooting threes as well. Bobby Portis had a bad game, which is unlike him. It's weird to say. He's had quite a few good ones strung together. He had just 2-7-2 on only 3 shots in the game. I think there was a few guys being a bit greedy out there and Giannis was really forcing some shots instead of getting Bobby some shots. And I don't know what happened to him, but he has been a bit of a revelation in terms of like a bench player in the NBA this season, one of the top 10 bench players in terms of fantasy contribution. For the Toronto Raptors, Norman Powell. He had 29-4-3 with 2 steals on 9 of 12 shooting, 4 of 7 from downtown, 7 of 8 at the foul line. Wow. Mind you, some of the defending on him was absolutely abominable. Chris Webber, who I'm not a huge fan of as a commentator, although I loved him as a player, he was losing his absolute mind in the commentary box going, come on, come on, after Norm hit another open shot because the defense was so bad, he could not believe it. Norm Powell, 54th in the last month, 81st on the season after a really slow start where he couldn't hit anything. He's just been going off. Now, I'll get a quick comment for you before I ask you who you might accept for him in a sell high. Any comments on Norm's form?
Yeah, no, look, Norm looks great, and he does this every year. He's one of the streakiest guys in the league. He's just had the perfect storm of getting hot right when the Raptors have had some big injuries. The first time he got hot, OG was down, and so he stepped in and went crazy. Tonight, Lowry was out. He stayed hot and went crazy. So I'll be interested to see what he does once they have all their guys in. But the way he's shooting, I mean, he's definitely going to stick around for fantasy.
Hmm. All right, let's get to brass knuckles here, brass tacks. I want to do sell high. So you have in this hypothetical, you have Norm Powell, and I offer you Malik Beasley. Do you take Beasley?
Yes, I would take Beasley for Powell.
Delon Wright.
I would keep Powell.
Joe Harris.
Whoa, that's a good one. I would take Harris.
Interesting. They are both in the 80 to 90 range on the season. Delon Wright is 73rd on the season at the moment, and Beasley is 64th on the season. One of the draft day steals. I was just taking the piss out of someone in one of my leagues today who was making fun of me going, oh, good luck. Good luck with Malik Beasley leading your team.
When he goes to jail.
But he, I drafted him at 140, and he is the 40th ranked player in that points league where I have him. So that is 100 points higher than where I drafted him. I'm very happy with that.
A lot of people got him off waivers.
Yeah. Now, these are guys all in the 90-plus range. Victor Oladipo.
I mean, I'd rather have Oladipo. I think the upside is too good.
Even if he's going to kill your field goal percentage.
Yeah, I think he just I think his upside is just too good once he gets healthy. But you know, he is high reward, high risk.
Buddy Hield.
I'm not a huge Buddy Hield fan, so I might stick with Powell in that case.
Yeah, well Hield. It makes sense because Hield is outside the top 90 on the season. Like,
yeah.
Colin Sexton.
Powell does more in the ancillary stats. So Powell's the thing about that Powell that's exciting me about Powell right now is he's getting steals, he's getting rebounds, and he's getting assists. He's not just the Buddy Hield threes and points type of player, which is what you want in fantasy. So Powell, you know, he's really rounded up those other stats. And if he can keep it going when their team is healthy, the Raptors are going to be a really scary team in real life. And Powell's going to maintain that top 60, top 50 form, I think, you know, because he's going to get a lot of open looks when Lowry and Van Vliet and Pascal are all out.
And the thing about Powell as well is that even though he's streaky like some of these other guys, last season he shot 48.3% from the field. 18-19, he shot 48.3%. And then last season, he shot 49.6%. One of the best shooting guard field goal percentages on reasonable volume. I think at 15 points a game or higher, I think it was only Devin Booker and maybe Steph, a couple of people who had better field goal percentage than him. So even though he's streaky, overall, it ends up being good. And like this season, he started out really badly, but he's now up to 47.5%. from the field on the season, which given how bad he was, like when he's on the streaks are just incredible. 67% from the field over the last week, 56% over the last 2 weeks. So you can see what he's capable of. Let me throw another couple of quick ones at you.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton.
I'd rather have Sexton than Powell.
And he has dropped off quite a bit though, because he's in that sort of 100 range now. Seth Curry.
I'd rather have Powell.
Wiggins.
I'd rather have Wiggins.
Eric Gordon. That's easy, isn't it?
Powell. For the blocks. Yeah, Powell over Gordon, for sure.
And what
yeah.
about Keldon Johnson?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd have to say Powell right now. Keldon's been pretty inconsistent, too.
Yeah, he has some really... I mean, it's just the nature of the Spurs, I think. They've got so many pretty excellent players that it seems to just get rotated around, and whoever is hot kind of goes off, with the exception of like maybe DeMar DeRozan, who's very consistent. The others, it seems to be just whoever's hot on the night, and it's hard to predict. Yeah, interesting.
Yep, Murray and DeRozan are really the only two consistent ones there. And then you're right, it does get spread around quite a bit with the rest.
I think the only ones there that I would take Beasley, I would take DeLon Wright as well, because I like the assists from him, and he gets the steals too. And I think I would probably... Yeah. Keep Joe Harris, because I see him just being so consistent, and the threes are elite. I don't think I would take any of the other guys. I think part of it's kind of prejudice based on they've all hurt me in different ways too many times before. Oladipo, Hield, Sexton, Seth Curry's disappointed at me at times. Wiggins, of course, Gordon too. Keldon Johnson is the only one who hasn't burnt me in fantasy yet. Let's talk about Fred VanVleet.
You can never count out the emotional factor when it comes to fantasy.
I mean,
we're only human.
The other thing is too, though, if you look at it, all of those guys I mentioned are lower than Powell on the season now. They're all 90 outside of the top 90, and Powell is in that 80 to 90 range. So there is some logic.
The way he's playing, it's hard to deny. It's hard to take anyone over him right now. I just think, you know, with Lowry not there, and the last time he got hot, OG was out. So it'd be interesting to see if he keeps getting that usage when they're back to full health. I think his shooting percentages have been pretty good, even though he's a streak shooter, because when he starts shooting bad, Nurse tends to not play him. So he's not out there to even miss, or his shots go way down, and he, you know, looks to other players. But when he's hot, Nurse will run him out there for a lot of minutes. Yep. So if he can just keep it rolling, I mean, look, there's, you're right. There's not many players I'd take over him in that area.
An interesting thing is, too, last season he averaged 28.4 minutes a game, and he's right on that again this season now. And the thing is, Kyle Lowry, these guys, Fred VanVleet as well, they're injury prone. They will miss games. True. So especially in Roto, if you could send out pretty much any of those guys we mentioned at the end, for me anyway, Keldon, Gordon, even Wiggins, Seth Curry, if he has a few hot games, I would consider doing it for sure. And there are definitely people who are listening and thinking about selling high on him. So you might, this was sort of a sell high segment, but it's also a kind of a buy low segment. Well, sorry, a buy high, can I say that? Oh, you know, if he has a couple of quiet games, you could consider buying him. Let's talk about Fred VanVleet, who's just having an incredible season. He had 17, 5 and 8 with a steal and a block. The shooting was rough, 5 for 15, but that steal was amazing. He ripped the ball right out of Giannis's hand on a drive and took off with it like a cat burglar with a jewel and the police in hot pursuit. He is the 15th ranked player on the season. He's the 8th ranked player in the last month. He's shooting 90% from the free throw line on huge attempt numbers, which is awesome. But the steals, they're even better. 1.7 per game on the season and 2 per game over the last month. The assists and points are right up there as well. All things remaining equal, Brent Middleman, would you take him in the second round if you had to draft over again?
Absolutely, yeah. And the rebounds from a guard too. I mean, no. Freddie is the real deal. He deserved every penny of that big contract. I would absolutely consider taking him in the second round if I'd gone with like a big blocks guy in the first round. I would love to stack him with Freddie. So. If I went like AD or somebody early, to put him with Fred VanVleet would be huge. I think he's the real deal. I think he holds his value. The answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, I look at some of the guys I took in the second round. I mean, these were different places in the second round, but I took Paul George. Of course, with Paul George being injured, it's easy to say you'd change your mind about that. But, you know, Paul George did start out awesomely. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy I took over Fred VanVleet, who has been better and then got hurt, but still you would take Fred VanVleet if you had that over, wouldn't you?
I would, and I was one of the biggest, you know, take SGA guys out there too. I thought, you know, and he's had a little bit of injuries. He's on a weird team, and that's in a weird transition kind of period. But I mean, VanVleet's just been way more consistently awesome than SGA. So totally.
Now, another guy who is awesome is OG Anunoby. He has obviously missed, I think he missed 7 or 8 games or something, almost 2 weeks. He played 26 minutes today. It was great to see him getting those minutes ramped up a bit more. He still looked a bit rusty, but he did manage to have 10, 7, and 1, which is good to see. I've got him in a few places. So, very, very awesome to see that. Pascal Siakam, after a slow start to the season, he is providing that second, that sort of that third round value where he was drafted by a lot of people. They had 27, 6, and 5. With a steal and 2 blocks. Now, Chris Boucher, the lightning rod, he just keeps coming up, doesn't he? He had 22 minutes today. He had 8 and 7 with just 1 assist and 2 steals. 40th on the season, 70th in the last week, 100th over the last month. At the risk of boring people, let's do this again. I think we talked about what would you send except for him? Who would you prefer rest of season? So you've got Boucher. I offer you Ayton, who is now up to 75th on the season. Would you take Ayton or Boucher?
Man, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we probably did the same one, and I said I'd take Boucher. I'm getting nervous with the minutes with Boucher. He's too good to drop if you have him, but at this point, I'd probably take Ayton just because of the more consistent minutes. If Boucher could consistently get closer to 30 minutes, I would take Boucher. But I think just for the consistency, I would probably take Ayton at this point until we figure out what's going on with him.
Now, with Boucher, I mean. Now, if I'd asked you this a month ago and I asked you about Capella, you might have taken Boucher a month ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the threes, because of the percentages are way better. Capella's a killer in free throws. No threes, but Capella's looked really good. I would take Capella at this point over Boucher. Yeah.
I mean, Holmes is a no-brainer. You would take Holmes. Julius Randle, I'm assuming, who's up to 48th on the season, you would take Randle.
Randle's been incredible. I love Julius. I mean, if he could only, you know, get a few more blocks. His other numbers are crazy right now. So, yeah, definitely Randle.
This is where it gets a little bit trickier. Enes Kanter.
No, I'd take Boucher over Cancer. Yeah.
Even though, just based on the fact that you think, what's his name? Nurkic. I've blocked out his name because I drafted him in three drafts. I don't even want to hear. Do not say his name again, Brent. Stop texting me. Stop texting me three times a day. Nurkic.
The name we shall not speak.
Yeah.
I'm Boucher over Cancer because of the elite blocks, the threes potential, and, you know, the scoring potential. I love Cantor's just been, you know, he's walking double double right now, but Boucher is as high ranked as he is because of those elite blocks, along with his percentages. So I still like Boucher from a fantasy perspective over Cantor. I think you get enough good games out of Boucher to make it worth it.
Yeah, and Cantor doesn't get steals, and he doesn't, the blocks are low, and no 3-pointers, no points. It's basically just rebounds, yeah. And
he's the white Tristan Thompson.
And there you go. It's rebounds and field goal percentage. The white Tristan Thompson. That's like one of the most insulting things I've ever heard. the moment, anyway. Shout out to Tristan Thompson. I was a huge Cavs fan for a few years there, anyway, with wanting LeBron to win. So TT, get on your mate. And shout out to Dellavedova as well. And what about Andre Drummond? Is he dead?
No, I mean, Drummond's not dead. It just depends how quickly they can get this deal done. Even no matter what situation he ends up in, I think Drummond is still, you know, can put up such elite numbers in those strong categories for the reasons you have a guy like Drummond on your team. I don't think he's dead. I would hate to have him right now, and it'd be tough to trade for him just because we don't really know how long it's going to take this to work itself out. But I think once it does, I think he'll be right back to being, you know, one of the top guys, especially in head-to-head leagues, like he always is.
Mm. So you would take Drummond if I offered you Drummond?
For Boucher?
Yeah.
I mean, just because of the uncertainty, yes, I would take Drummond for Boucher. I think Drummond's upside's too good to pass up there.
What about if a team that was struggling a little bit in head-to-head and needs something right now offered you Mitch Robinson for Boucher? And let's say in this hypothetical, your team's doing really well. You're like top one or two seed with a good gap, and you're like guaranteed playoffs.
Yeah,
would you take Mitch Rob?
Whew. Yeah, I probably would. Because Noel has not looked like we hoped he would with Robinson out. So I think Robinson comes right back to his minutes. I would take Robinson being in a top spot like that. Although I'm probably in that good spot because of Boucher's early season play. And I'm in this position in that NFC league where I'm in first, and I have Boucher. And it would take a lot to get him away from me at this point. I'm trying to think if I would trade Robinson if someone offered him to me in that league, if I'd take Robinson. I probably would. I'd probably go Robinson just because of the consistency. If Nurse would just play Boucher a regular set number of minutes, I would take Boucher almost over all those guys.
So I think hopefully it's a bit of learning for people listening about the way we see these players, and that might be helpful for you if you're working trades, if you have Boucher, if you'd like to get him potentially, or if you're in a team where you'd like a bit of consistency, guaranteed production through the fantasy playoffs. Maybe after Boucher has a couple of big games and Randall has a quiet one, you send out, try and get Randall, or maybe you do try and get Mitch Rob if you're in a good position. Aaron Baines, which is sort of the other half of that, the big man sort of.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Center puzzle in Toronto. He had 15 minutes only, 6-3-2 with a block, and he's just a deep league guy. Let's talk about the Nets and the Lakers. This is a game that I watched a bit of, and then I stopped watching it because I drew the short straw and I had to watch Miami the Kings while you got to see this. So you'll have to take a little bit of the lead here. Well, what I did see was the Nets sprung out to a big lead in the first quarter. They had 31 points. They shot 12 for 21 at 57%. You can't stop them even when there's only two of the big three out there.
Yeah, because that I saw a thing on Instagram today of who would you take: Klay Thompson, Curry, Thompson, Curry, Durant, or Durant, Harden, Kyrie. And I'm a huge Warrior fan, and I still hesitated because Kyrie, Harden, and Durant are like incredibly scary. I think I lean Warriors just being a homer and for defense for, you know, Klay's D and Durant's D and Curry's just probably, you know, my favorite player of all time. But that big three is scary. And even just two of those guys out there is scary, even if it's Harden and Kyrie without Durant. They're going to be a nightmare in the playoffs. James Harden is just unreal right now. I love watching him play. I think he continues to keep doing it because they're rarely all three of them going to play at the same time. And even when they do, his points will come down, but his assists are going to be through the roof, and he's still blocking shots and getting steals. I mean, it's just crazy how good this guy is at basketball. And no surprise here, the Lakers actually made it a little bit of a better game than I thought they would without AD. So that's kind of scary. I think this was a preview of what we're going to see in the final. If AD can come back from that calf injury or whatever it is, tendon injury, if he can come back strong, this is probably a preview of what we're going to see in the final. But love the Nets, love that big three. I'd love to have Durant or Harden on any of my teams. I do have on a bunch of teams. I'm not as big on Kyrie Irving just because you never know when that guy's going to miss like three or four games in a row. But when he does play, he's awesome. So, yeah, I think that's my controversial take at the Nets. My hot take on the Nets is they're really good. Well, and these guys are good.
Well, I can help dig a little bit deeper on a couple of these. So let's have a look at Harden. It's been a bit of a roller coaster road. I have Harden in 5 of my 16 competitive leagues, and including 3 cash leagues. I drafted him in all different positions. I drafted him number 1 twice. I drafted him number 3. I drafted him at number 7 was the latest that I got him, and I drafted him at number 5. And there was a period there of absolute panic where he turned up fat. And he was, we didn't have any idea how long he was going to sit for. I think in the end, it was good that he was an absolute prick because he forced his way out fast before I could trade him away. I got offered Trae Young and Paul George. And I tell you, I was vacillating for a moment there. My God, I am grateful I did not trade him away in any of those leagues. In fact, I traded for him in one league because somebody else was panicking. So at the moment, that has worked out well because he is the 2nd ranked player over the last week, the 3rd over the last 2 weeks, 6th over the last, and 6th on the season now, which is really good to see, isn't it? Especially if you consider, really, it's only Jokic of the other guys in who are ahead of him who is really way ahead of the pack. Everybody else in that in the 1-5 range is basically pretty close to Harden.
Yep, and I just pat yourself on the back for getting Harden in all those places. He was one of those guys I was a little hesitant, even when I was picking first. You know, you didn't know what was going on with that Houston situation, but good for anyone who took a chance and just bet on his skill level shining through in the end, because he dogged it a little bit in Houston, still put up decent numbers, but he is definitely playing all out right now in Brooklyn, and I don't expect it to stop for the rest of the season, so just enjoy the ride.
And I think the thing is, too, if you looked at the other guys that you could have taken in the top 3, which is basically Towns or AD, and both of those had both of those guys had reasons not to draft them. I drafted two Anthony Towns as Carl Towns as well, and that turned out to be a nightmare. And I tell you, it sounds a bit morbid to say this after all the trouble he had with COVID, but I figured if he does catch COVID, he's probably going to be out for a while. And it turned out, what did he missed like 6 weeks, wasn't it? You're like,
it was, yeah, like at least, 2 months. I think it was 2 months. It was like four to six weeks. Yeah, pretty more, close.
Yeah.
It seemed like forever because I have him on a couple of teams too, and it didn't seem like forever. I mean, he's playing great now, but, you know, that hurts. That hurt me in a bunch of the, especially in roto leagues.
I'm dead in the roto league where I had him. I'm like, I'm near last, and I'm dead last in a head-to-head competitive league, the HoopBall Cash 3 league. I am dead last. I've got up to second last, actually. It's funny because if you plug it into some of the sites and predict where you're going to finish, my team is the best team and it's predicted to finish first, but I'm last.
That's how it goes, man. Yeah. I have Giannis in a couple of those HoopBall cash leagues and he's been killing me lately.
So, yeah, I don't think you can really complain. Steph, it doesn't really matter. I think if you've got Damian, if you've got Lillard or Steph or Harden at the moment, you should just be happy. Joel Embiid and Kawhi, you really sort of have to just hope that they're you know, injury wise, they're going to play a lot. If you're in head to head, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. What about you mentioned Kyrie Irving? He is the 10th ranked player in fantasy. I don't think I read out Harden's line. Actually, I should. Harden had 23 and 11 with two steals and a block today on 7-for-15 shooting. Kyrie Irving was 7-for-17 from the field. He had 16 and 7 with 5 assists. He does contribute in the peripherals. He couldn't get a 3-point shot to fall today though. Kyrie was 0-for-5 from deep. Kyrie is providing first round value. And do you think he, on a per game basis, he probably holds that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As long as he's in the, as long as he's playing, he's going to hold that value. Probably right around where he was drafted in most leagues. Maybe a little better. Just based off, you know, just Kyrie being Kyrie and not knowing what's going to go on with him. But yeah, no, he totally will hold that. I just hope he keeps playing because I've got him in a couple places in dynasty leagues that I took over for another owner who had him. I didn't go out trying to get him, but I took over a couple teams where he was there, and so I'm kind of stuck with him. And yeah, so far so good. Just, you know, hopefully just, you know, keeps playing, keeps staying motivated. And I think with Harden there, with KD looking like old KD, there's no reason to think he's not going to keep going out there and playing great.
Yeah. Now, speaking of playing great, that's what Joe Harris has been doing for most of the season off and on. I think a couple of times some of the kind of fantasy experts on different places, not HoopBall people, were talking about Joe Harris being a drop, but I steadfastly refuse to drop him anywhere because I figure like when these guys miss games, he's going to go off and he's just going to be open. He was 7-for-10 from the field today, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Now, if you have a look at games where if neither one of the other big guys really goes off or only one of them does, almost without fail, Joe Harris is having good games and he's in that sort of top 75 value on the season. The three-pointers are off the charts tonight, 6-for-7 from deep.
Yeah, the Nets are not a very deep team. So you're right. When one of those big three guys miss, it's really only Joe Harris that's the main offensive contributor for them. Otherwise, you know, it falls to either Jeff Green or, you know, TLC, Luolo Cabarro. You know, those are really only the other big scorers on the team. So, you know, it's really all Joe whenever one of the big three is out or two of the big three are out quite often, which is going to lead to big games from Joe. So, yeah, good move hanging on to him. I've been a big Joe Harris fan for a while. I was glad when Brooklyn signed him. I think that was a really good move to keep him because he is their depth.
And he's just such a good shooter. He is shooting 53.
Oh, it's so smooth.
53.4%. from the field on the season,
crazy.
Which is crazy for somebody who takes so many of his shots from the three-point range. Averaging 15 points, 3.4 threes, 3.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists, half a steal, and that field goal percentage at 53.4 is just really good stuff. That's his second best category, and also turnovers. He doesn't turn the ball over, which is helpful for you in roto as well. Is there anything else worth mentioning about the Nets before we talk about the Lakers briefly? Because probably only two things worth mentioning about the Lakers. DeAndre Jordan had just 7 and 8 today. He remains a guy you can stream. He had one block. You can stream for rebounds and blocks and maybe hold on. Jeff Green has fallen off a little bit. He had just 5 and 3 with an assist and 2 steals. He's fallen into that droppable category, hasn't he, Jeff?
Yeah, he has. I mean, he doesn't really give you much outside of points and threes and a little bit of rebounds. I was expecting a big game from him today, but he's too inconsistent. If there's a hot waiver guy out there who's going to give you more across the board, I think he's definitely droppable.
What about Bruce Brown? He's really just a 14-team or 16-team guy, and he had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal, 3 for 7 from the field. Every now and then, he's going to really go off when two of the big three are not playing, if that happens. But he's really just a defensive category streamer, isn't he, in 12-team, like where you might stream him in for a day or two in a weekly matchup?
Well, yeah, if that. I'm not – nothing exciting with Bruce Brown for me. Maybe deeper leagues if you need someone. The guy that I keep an eye on, especially – well, actually, Bruce Brown's going to be hurt a little bit by Andre Roberson. Actually, we might want to just mention that he actually played today. The poor guy, you know, he's been out for, what, 2-3 years now with that knee injury. I think it's a similar injury to what happened to Bogdan Bogdanovic, actually. But Roberson actually got back in the game. So he's just going to steal minutes from guys like Brown, not from Harris or anything like that. But it's going to steal minutes from those other ancillary guys like Brown and Shamet and those guys. The only real like lightning bolt that they have off the bench is TLC. If you're looking for maybe like a scoring streamer, who plays hard and gets steals. You know, he's a guy to maybe keep an eye on when one of the big three are out. But other than that, yeah, not much to see there.
Speaking of not much to see, for the Lakers, there's not much to see except LeBron James. He had 32, 8, and 7. He just is remarkable athlete. 14 for 23 from the field. He wasn't good from deep today. He was just 1 for 6 on 16.7% shooting, and his foul shooting was bad, 3 for 6. But he's just having a cracking season. He doesn't seem to age at all. What about Kyle Kuzma? He had 16 and 10 with a block. 2 3-pointers, 7 for 13 from the field. I picked him up in a roto league and another league in a couple of places. Is he worth a stream?
Absolutely. I'd take Kuzma anywhere with AD out. AD's going to be out at least through the All-Star break, maybe even longer from what I'm reading. So I think Kuzma's going to be the main beneficiary there. I think his role is going to stay the same no matter what. Harrell's been pretty disappointing this season. I think Kuzma's the guy who's going to pick up most of those extra rebounds. He's not being the scorer that he used to be, but now with AD out, he's going to have to score a bit, especially if Dennis Schroeder is going to be out more than just this one game. I love Kuzma anywhere you can get him.
So the rest of these guys don't have a huge amount of value. Marc Gasol had 8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He's a blocks streamer, really, and maybe some assists. We've talked about that before. Not much else. Wesley Matthews did nothing. Caruso did nothing. Taylor Horta Tucker, he played 27 minutes. He had 9, 2, and 5, but maybe he has some, it's more like 14, 16 team value. Montrezl Harrell had 10 and 3. But just 15 minutes for Harrell. That's disappointing for people who might have streamed him.
Yeah, it was really, you know, Brooklyn really kind of had control of this game for the most part. And so the Lakers really played some weird lineups just to try to combat what Kyrie and James Harden were throwing at him and with Joe Harris. So with all those really good shooters, they went heavier on guys like Talen Horton-Tucker over guys like Harrell. So that explains his lack of minutes there. When they play bigger teams, though, Harrell's going to get a lot more minutes than that. So I wouldn't be too worried if you have Harrell. With Horton Tucker, he's going to be an exciting guy down the road. I'd love to have him in Dynasty, but even with AD out, I think he's going to be a little too inconsistent to recommend him in shallower leagues. If you're in a deeper league, you know, he's probably worth a flyer in like a 16 league and up.
And the other thing worth mentioning about Harrell is he was almost the worst on plus minus. He was minus 19. Caruso was minus 20, and they were significantly worse on the plus minus than everybody else. So that points to what you're saying about the lineups not being right. It's Valentine's Day coming up. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Valentine's Day is upon us. You don't know where the night is going to take you. And our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you you need to use the best tools for the job. If your girl can't think of what to get you this year, tell her to get the gift that's for you and for her. The best way to get started is with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package, of course, is led by the revolutionary third-generation lawnmower 3.0 trimmer with its advanced skin-safe technology, which prevents any messes on the bathroom floor and stuff like that because it's waterproof. That's very important when it's time for Cupid to shoot his arrow, of course. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxes that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those over the old, used, stinky pair of boxes you have to these high-performance, anti-chafing boxes. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. That's the signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. So all of this is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That is HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping. Your balls and the people who enjoy them will thank you. Speaking of lineups not being right, the next game, the Sacramento Kings lost 118 points to 110. It was not that close. In fact, they were down by 20 points with not very long to go in the third quarter. But then a guy by the name of, I got to look it up here, Daquan, I was calling him Saquon, as like Saquon Barkley, Daquan Jeffries came in and just, he was 5 of 5 from deep. He just was, he got 10 points in about 2 minutes at the end of the third quarter to cut it to 10. And then the Kings kind of like flirted with getting close, but they never really did. They are really missing Rashawn Holmes in a very, very big way. They didn't have Harrison Barnes either today, but without Holmes' rim protection, they don't look to be a very good team.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, when, you know, Nemanja Bjelica is your top player, you know it's a rough game. And they're really high on that Daquan Jeffries. It's only his third game of the season coming back from injury. I think he's like 23 years old. He started in his second game back. He's getting minutes. So if you're in a dynasty league or a deeper league, he's someone to maybe keep an eye on because they seem to be pretty high on him. But otherwise, yeah, Bjelica probably a good streamer while Holmes is out, but he's going to be inconsistent. It's probably going to alternate between him and Whiteside, based on matchups. Bagley has looked a lot better lately. He's someone to maybe consider like a buy low on if someone's getting frustrated with him. And then Fox was just, you know, pretty bad offensively. And Buddy Hield is just he just hasn't been the same this year. And I'm worried for him. I think he might need a trade or something to mix this up. And I think Sacramento would happily move along if they can get the right deal. But I think it's going to be hard to get much for him right now.
Yeah, definitely hard. When you look at his line today, he had 5 and 3 with 1 steal, 1 block, but he was 2 for 10 from the field and 1 for 8 from deep. And that field goal percentage and the fact that he's not hitting anywhere near as many threes as he needs to provide big value means he's around about 100th on the season when people were drafting him in that sort of 50 to 60 range. Just not good. Bagley, yep. As you mentioned him, he had 19 and 10 with 2 assists. Do you think he has value when Rashawn Holmes comes back though?
Yeah, I do. I think Holmes will cut more into like Bjelica's time because, you know, look, Bagley's one of the cornerstones of their team. I think they're going to have to play him. He's going to get the minutes and I think he could continue to produce even with Holmes down there. They're kind of similar players, honestly. So I think they kind of hurt each other. So it's definitely better for Bagley when Holmes isn't there. But I think he could consistently put up like 17 and 8, when Holmes is back.
Bjelica, you mentioned he had 25 and 8 with 3 assists and 2 steals. He's pretty much on waiver wires everywhere. Would you pick him up? Or is this a case of them showcasing him because they want to trade him and after he gets traded, he won't have value?
It's both. I would pick him up as long as Holmes is out, just seeing if he can keep it going and taking advantage of them showcasing him. But I would definitely not expect it to be a long-term thing. It's really more of a short-term streamer with him because chances are he gets traded to a contender where he's probably, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th guy off the bench and matchup based at that. So, Yeah, I mean, if you need a short-term pickup or you have Holmes and you need someone to pick up the slack, he's definitely not the worst pickup in the world.
Mm. Worst pickup in the world might be Hassan Whiteside. Is there a sadder story in the NBA than this guy? I mean, you shouldn't really feel sorry for him. He's made millions of dollars in his career and not really exploited his physical talents as much as he might. He had 5 and 6 with 1 assist. He did have 2 blocks in his 15 minutes. He's really just a block streamer until Holmes comes back, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a block streamer even when Holmes is playing. I mean, he really only needs 15 minutes to be effective from a fantasy perspective. But if he's someone you're running out there, chances are your team's not doing that great if you're relying on him. But look, I mean, if you're in a roto league and you got room on your bench, he makes sense to kind of have on there just in case, you know, the injury takes a while to get rid of Bielitsa, Holmes remains out, you know, then it could be Whiteside's time to shine. But if you need blocks, which a lot of teams do, center's a pretty shallow position. You know, there's worse guys to have on there because he does pretty consistently block shots.
Yeah, and I think in roto that makes sense. But in head-to-head, I just wouldn't trust him in weekly lineups for sure. And then I think I've picked him up in a couple of places and then just dropped him like the next day or 2 days later pretty much every time.
I'm sure I have too.
Tyrese Halliburton's fallen off a little bit. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds with 4 assists and a steal, though. He does get those defensive stats, and he hit 2 3-pointers too, and he's maintaining 12-team category value and points leagues value as well. I would hold on to him even if he has a stretch of a couple of weeks because he is a rookie and he will be up and down. Glenn Robinson started, but he played 22 minutes and he had just 4 points and 9 rebounds. Again, deep league guy or a streamer. Let's talk about Miami Heat. Kelly Olynyk, you owe me a carton of beer. Or as the Americans would say, what do you guys say? A slab of beer? What is it? A box
case of beer.
A case. That's right. We say a slab of beer in Australia. you owe me a slab of beer because I had you in 4 leagues up until a week ago and I dropped you in 2. And then last night I dropped you in the last 2. And today you had 22 points and you had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 10. You were 10 for 16 from the field, although your 3-point shooting was shit. You were 1 for 7 from deep. So Kelly Olynyk, if you're listening, you owe me a beer.
And he looks like a guy you'd have a beer with, too.
It does, doesn't he? Yeah. We'd go down to Sydney Harbour somewhere.
I think it's the headband.
Yeah, have a beer under Sydney Harbour Bridge. Bam Adebayo had 16, 12, and 10. He was good, and he's been really good this season again. I think kind of outperforming. A lot of people thought he might fall off a little bit and that he was being overdrafted, but he's providing second-round value. Jimmy Butler has been good after a really slow start, and he was hurt. He had 13, 10, and 13 with a steal. This guy's a category stuffer, isn't he?
He is. I love Jimmy Butler. A lot of people took him early second round and probably have been pretty nervous, but he looks healthy. He looks great. Miami's been playing much better. They bounced back from a tough loss against the Warriors, and they look good tonight. They looked really good. Sacramento will do that to you. But, everyone who was supposed to be good on Miami was good, including Jimmy Butler, looked great. And, yeah, across the board stats, which are always fun.
Is Duncan Robinson a guy that you picked up anywhere? Because he got dropped in a few places. He was on the waiver wire in a few of my leagues. I balked because he's been so bad. But he had 22 and 3 today with a steal, and he was 5 for 11 from deep. Would you prefer him or Seth Curry or – probably you're going to take Joe Harris over both of those, but between Duncan Robinson and Seth Curry, who would you like rest of season?
I mean, I'd probably go with Duncan Robinson just because I worry about Maxey and Milton cutting into Curry's time, and the Heat love Robinson. He's going to get his minutes. They're going to run him out there. He's hit clutch shots. He had a big three against the Warriors the other night, like I mentioned. I think if he's heating up, he's a good guy to own. I never seem to have him, but I would take him over those guys. I'd probably take him over Davis Bertans at the moment. Because Miami just loves him. They're going to keep playing him. So he's a pretty safe guy, but you know what you're getting with him. You're getting all threes and points, not much else.
If you need steals, a streamer at the moment, and Andre Iguodala is around. He had 3 steals today. He played 23 minutes, which is about all he needs to contribute in that category, but not much else. Now, somebody who's been doing a lot better of late is Tyler Herro. He had 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. He was 12 for 17 from the field. I've got a little confession to make. I was very close to dropping him in some competitive cash leagues, and the only thing that stopped me is that he qualifies at small forward, which is sometimes a difficult position to fill. And so I held on to him, and that has proven to be very lucky.
Smart. Yeah, I mean, Hero's a guy, you based off where you probably drafted him to, that's a real tough drop. And he's one of those guys you just got to kind of hope that they get better and you live or die with them. But I could see the temptation to get rid of him. But his potential is through the roof. His playmaking's been a lot better. He's going to continue to get his minutes even when Dragic comes back. That's just going to be good by none. But guys like Robinson, Hero, Miami's going to keep running him out there, especially with the bad start they got out to. They know they need to feed Hero, and he looks good coming off the bench as a six man. I think he's gonna get a lot more playmaking and offense out of that.
Yeah, you could see with today's game and the previous game as well that it was difficult for the bench from the opposition, who are not as well organized on defense, to kind of contain him. And he had a lot of shots. I think yesterday he had 15 shots, but he was 5 for 15. Today, 17 shots. So that's 32 shots in 2 games, which points to what you're saying. Now, he's the 86th ranked player over the last week and 89th over the last 2 weeks, which is heaps better than what he was, because he was the 142nd ranked player on the season. You know what? Funny thing about him, last season, even though he was incredible in the bubble, I think he was like top 30 or something in the bubble, he was only 181st on the season. So, you know, as a rookie, but that's what I mean. Like, people were drafting him. I saw him go like pick 50 in some leagues.
You know? Yeah, he was definitely overdrafted, probably. I think people thought he was going to get a lot more point guard responsibilities this season. But I think he's right where he should be in his second year. The sixth man off the bench, leading that second unit, getting a lot of shots up, a lot of minutes. I could easily see him finishing, you know, top 60, maybe top 75.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit behind that, but he could provide that value for the rest of the season for sure. And then maybe finish in that sort of 80 to 90 range when it averages out. Now, it would not be a fantasy basketball podcast in the middle of the season if we didn't have Kendrick Nunn to talk about as the last the last player of the day. He had 31 minutes, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And the question is, do we hold on to him?
Yeah, I mean, I hold Nunn. Dragic, you know, who knows if that leg's going to hold up. He's got a ton of problems. He's going to rest a lot. He's probably going to be on a minutes restriction when he comes back. And Nunn's been shooting the lights out of it. I mean, I haven't seen him shoot threes this well in probably his whole career, or I guess last season when he went through that hot streak last season when he came out of nowhere. So as long as he's rolling like this, I'm going to hang on to him. But just be prepared at any point. Dragic could come back, and if he's healthy, Nunn's going to lose his minutes. But I think he's definitely earned his spot in the rotation. So, you know, I mean, at this point, you can't drop him. There's too much potential there. You just kind of hope you can get a lot out of him before Dragic comes back and that he holds some value. You know, it's a tough spot if you have Nunn right now, but he's definitely worth owning.
Well, there you go. We got to the end of the show. Brent, it's been wonderful to have you on a Thursday night, and it's a Friday afternoon. It's now 30 minutes past beer o'clock here on Friday afternoon in Sydney, so I'll be hopping into a beer and toasting you, mate, for joining me. And those beers will be provided by the one and the only Kelly Olynyk.
Yes, sir. The headband will come through. He's ready to party under whatever that bridge was that you mentioned, because I don't know my Australian landmark.
Sydney Harbour. we should finish on a lighter note. You know, the hilarious thing in terms of me getting people going. So I got Olynyk going today. The day before yesterday, I had a choice of whether to pick up Mo Wagner or Davis Bertans in a dynasty league where both were on the wire, and I picked up Mo Wagner, who had who played 3 minutes and had 2 points and nothing.
I saw
and
that.
And then Bertans was 9 for 11 from three.
And someone else grabbed Bertans.
Someone else grabbed Bertans. Yeah, he had 35 points, and it's the most 3-point made 3-pointers with no 2-point attempts in the history of the NBA.
That's like how I always felt with the Warriors. It seemed like every time I watch a Warriors game, the other team, one of their players would have a career night, like the best nights. It's the same in fantasy. Whenever you're deciding between two guys, the guy you don't pick up always has that career night. That's a rough one, man. I feel for you because I've been there, and I think I was even looking at Wagner in a couple places. And I didn't grab him just because I kind of wanted to see him do it again. But who knows? Next game, he could have a double-double with six threes. You know, it's such a weird situation there in Washington.
I think the learning thing from this is just that it's going to be really hard to predict in Washington, and you're better off staying away and finding something a bit safer. Brent, we have overstayed our welcome, or I've overstayed your welcome, whatever it goes. I'll let you go, mate. It's been fantastic chatting with you, and we'll see you again next Thursday night. We'll speak with you then.
Sounds good. Can't wait. See you guys later.
Take care.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.